probiotic.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let us continue with Richard Dolan, author of the two-part series, Out of Three, UFOs in the National Security State, a third book, Promise, for 2014.
Well, I'll work on it in 2014. If it's done that year, I'll be a happy guy.
It's one of those projects like Chris's book, Stalking the Herd, where you start tackling the project, you realize to do it justice, it just takes a lot more work.
That's putting it very well. You know, for years, I've had the bulk of my research in Volume 3 done. So it's not really a matter of gathering the data. I have to do some research on the last 5-6 years, but that's not going to be too hard. I know where I'm going to get all of that. It's just a matter of putting it all together, organizing it. Because, you know, as Chris knows, he's written books. To do a book right, really, it's two different things. You have to get your data. And that's a hard thing right there. You got to do your research. You got to get all your stuff together. But then the other thing is you have to organize it and right. Tell the story in a way that's actually going to make sense and be engaging. And with my topic, I mean, I'm dealing with the last 20, 25 years now of UFO history. Just think about how much that is. I'm going to try to cram it all into 600 pages.
It's huge.
And, right, so breaking it all down, weeding out, deciding what goes in, what doesn't go in, what's the right proportion for this story and for that theme and so forth. And I enjoy that aspect of writing a book, but it's a lot of work.
Does it seem to you as if there's going to have to be a fourth volume to make it work?
Oh, my God. Well, I hope not. At least what I want to do is, I think if I go from 92 to the present, that's a little more than 20 years. That's roughly the same span of time as my first two books, and I should be able to handle it in 600 pages or so. Now, there will be a world beyond that as we lurch toward our dystopian nightmare of a future, and maybe another 20 years, if I'm still kicking, I'll kick out the fourth volume.
But not this time. Chris, any more questions?
Ton of questions. Technomage T has a good one. He's one of our newer posters at forum.theparacast.com. Firstly, thanks you for coming on the Paracast. And this is a pretty interesting question. Given the long history of lying, deception, and abuse of power by members of the U.S. government, and he gives the examples of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the Tuskegee experiments, MKUltra, etc., and the government's willingness to use whatever means to achieve their ends, what methods do you use to distinguish between government insiders providing you with real information as opposed to disinformation agents who are trying to possibly work psyops on you or dissuade you from going down a particular path?
Yeah, great question. That's a stellar question. And the short answer is there's no sure way to know. The longer answer, I guess, is, you know, you do your research the way anyone would do their research, which is you go for corroboration. You go for, you know, you have a skeleton of known facts, let's just say, like a body. And it's like an architecture of knowledge, as I sometimes think of it. And so if I get a data point from someone that doesn't fit, that's like way out there, I have to wonder about it. I think, does this make sense or does this not make sense? If I get another data point that says the same thing, or then a third and then a fourth, then I'm at the point where I think, let's take a look at this and see, is this legit or not? My basic mode in this field, despite the fact that I'm very happy to speculate, despite the fact that I don't mind giving my opinions, my basic mode is one of caution and conservatism. That is, I try to be as factually based in telling my histories as I can be, given that any work of history, every work of history is provisional and is subject by subsequent generations to be reinterpreted and corrected. And that had better be true with my book. I certainly hope that people, you know, in the future don't just say, oh, Dolan's book is that's the word on UFOs. I mean, my God, it can't be. So there have to be other researchers coming along, correcting what I've done, and then researchers after them. And all I can say is you do your best. You use your training to the best of your ability. It's like any lawyer, like any investigator, you do your best. And that's really all that I can say. I thought that question was going to be, given the government's propensity for lying, what makes me think that there'll one day ever be openness on UFOs, that the government will ever tell the truth, considering that I co-authored a book dealing with government disclosure on UFOs. That's what I was expecting. And to that, I'll simply say, of course the government won't tell the truth on UFOs. Even if they're pressed to the wall, they're not going to tell the truth on UFOs.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about disclosure, if we can use that word, is not that it's going to force the truth out on UFOs. It's that it will make this topic fair game for public inquiry, and it'll give us an opportunity. Right. It'll give us an opportunity globally for other smart people to dive in and come up with some investigative journalism. And so that's the difference that disclosure will make.
That also dovetails into the realm of other countries gaining more and more of a foothold in the space and private enterprise. Who knows what the Chinese might find going to the moon, for instance. Right. And that would put them in a position of power. They could possibly find something worthy of disclosure that then they could use as a bargaining chip or some sort of leverage over the U.S. government.
Yeah, I wonder about this.
It's getting more and more interesting and complicated, I think, as we see more and more entities going out into space. Now, you mentioned the word disclosure. We have a couple of questions that are kind of interesting in that you seem to be willing to go on shows and talk about your work in venues that some of the rank and file, some of the more heavy hitters in the field, and, are a little bit nervous about. For instance, Dave M says, "Do you think that you're taken less seriously if you associate yourself with Stephen Bassett?" Another question is, the trained observer says he thinks you took a larger hit to your credibility by associating yourself with Project Camelot and Kerry Cassidy.
Oh, for God's sake.
And your recent foray on the twins that shall not be named. Where do you come down? How do you
the twins that
where
shall
do you draw the line? Let's put
twins?
It that way.
The twins that shall not be named. I don't know even know who those are. The twins that shall not be named.
Well, we don't like to give them any sort of Blake Cousins and his brother.
Oh, that one.
Who shall not be named, yes.
Yeah. Well, that one I can just say that was my own ignorance and stupidity. Yes, it's true. I have gaps in my knowledge. I get radio interview requests all the time. And most of the people who contact me, I don't know who the hell they are. I honestly can't keep up. I'm working in my own little private Idaho. I've got my own things going on. So I get an interview request, and I actually will plead ignorance. I literally did not know who Blake Cousins was. You can laugh at me all you want. I'll take laughter. I'll deserve it, but
we'll laugh with you, Rich.
I didn't know who he was. So I do this interview. And the funny thing about that is, like, I'm doing this interview. It was the most bizarre, whacked out, hit it with the dumbest questions, the dumbest, stupid questions. And I just said, well, who is this guy? And I got so angry. I got so angry as a result of that. And then the guy who set it up, the kid, he apologized. Like I said, how do you not know the reputation? But anyway, so that's the Blake Cousins things, and I'll take the blame for that. Fine, whatever. I don't really care. Steve Bassett. I'll talk about Stephen Bassett. Listen, I've known Stephen for many years now, 12, 13 years, whatever. And he catches so much hell. I understand. But I like Stephen personally. I'll always like him personally, and sue me, whatever. The X conferences are, I got on Stephen's case years ago.
Talked about this.
Well, the thing I got on Stephen's case about is at the time, his promotion of Alfred Weber.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly. I'll talk with you guys.
Not publicly, but you and I did talk about this a little bit when we saw each other last.
We've got to do a break, Richard, so I want to maybe hold this for the next segment. How's that, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is fascinating. More of this discussion continuing. Things you never heard before, things he hasn't mentioned in public before, maybe he'll rue the day after this. Richard Dolan joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So polished he does that.
Is that good? Was that good?
Yeah. I think it's between you and Nick. Nick, because he's so bizarre, but you sound like a real broadcaster when you do it.
Oh, sweet. Well, I have a nice microphone here, a little windscreen. I got the whole thing going on.
What kind of mic do you have?
That's a Yeti.
Oh, that's what Chris is using.
Yep. Yeah, I love this, man.
That's a great mic.
It's the best. I'm using the Yeti Pro because I can run it through an analog mixer. All right. Richard Dolan joining us with his Yeti. It's the appropriate mic to use on a paranormal radio show.
Exactly.
There can be no others from a company called Blue Mike. They did not buy advertising here, but they should. You were going to tell us here, we were getting into your interactions with Stephen Bassett.
Yeah.
And some of the side issues. Let's hear what you never told before in public.
Well, look, all I'll just say is Stephen is the ultimate what we call big tent ufology guy. He really is. And he has his perspective on how to move this field forward. There are certain things that he does that I do agree with. Other things he's said over the years that I don't agree with. One of them is in his ex-conferences, which overall, I'm giving this man credit for organizing, I think he did six or seven ex-conferences, six of them at least. And by the way, I'm the only person who was an invited speaker to every one of those ex-conferences. I'm proud of that, actually. And I think all of them had something to offer. And the idea that he had of going to the National Press Club in the aftermath of those ex-conferences, I also think was a laudable idea. And, you know, we can look back on it and think, well, that's just tiresome, you know, every single year. But, you know, think about initiating this and trying to make a mainstream breakthrough. And it didn't happen. But I think it's a totally worthy idea. But the thing with Alfred Weber, I'll just say, yeah, he in one of the early ones, I think in 04, 05, or 06, whatever, he gave Alfred a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I said to him privately, you know, don't, you're doing a wrong thing. You do not encourage this man, because really all that he is a lightning rod to make this field look like a bunch of fools. Every time we did the press conference when Alfred was there, the Washington Post only wanted to talk to him. Why? Because he sounded crazy. That's why. But Stephen had this idea that Alfred initiated the idea of exopolitics. It's kind of a sexy word, and he wanted to have that kind of as the new thing. He didn't like ufology. Okay, whatever. And I really feel, honestly, that he was not fully conversant with Alfred's ideas. I think he thought it was a great title. He said, let's bring him in. And it just turned out not to be a good idea. But no, I don't think that I lose credibility by associating with Stephen Bassett. No. If someone wants to think that, they can think what they want. Now, the whole thing with Camelot, this makes me laugh. And we've talked about this on this show in the past, by the way, and I'll just deal with it again. People love Camelot, they hate Camelot, whatever. Do I care? No, I don't care. Here's why. Because when I did two Camelot conferences, all right, that put me in a completely new audience. And by the way, the YouTube videos that I have with Camelot have more views than almost anything else I've ever done.
Yeah, it's right. Opening up a huge potential
right.
Market.
So much that like it, screw them. I really don't care if someone likes it or doesn't. I made the decision very consciously, and I'll make it again. What I try to do is I say my piece. I don't change what I say,
right.
Depending on where I'm at. I absolutely don't do that. I will modify what I say to speak to a particular audience that I think is going to be listening, because what I'm trying to do at all times, and whenever I do anything publicly, I try to be mindful of who I'm speaking to and what I can do to turn on as many light bulbs over people's heads as I can. So to do that, I can't just burrow myself away into my own little cave and speak only to those people that I think are the most credible or that will make me, you know, feel more comfortable that I agree with these people. It's nonsense. It's a big world out there. We don't all agree. And by the way, my ideas have continued to evolve in this field. And that doesn't mean that I'm all Mr. New Agey. In fact, I have a real serious problem with a lot of New Age infiltration in our field. But it's there. I'm not going to engage these people if I just run away from every opportunity from dealing with them. So no, I'm not going to apologize for that at all. I think what these critics need to understand is that it's a big world out there. It's like politics, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows of us, and that's just how it is. I'm not in a position where I feel like I'm just going to only associate with those people that have my highest level of respect. I want to go out there and get my hands dirty and talk to a lot of people, because there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, and you're also a businessman running a publishing company, too, so there are some commercial concerns as well, which we need to obviously acknowledge.
As far as that, no. I mean, what I would say is I will not publish a book that I think is not of a standard that I consider to be like a high a valuable book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understand that. But what I was getting at is you're opening up new markets, a new section of an audience.
Yeah, I mean, look, if everyone agreed with me about how the world is, gee, that would be wonderful for me, but that doesn't happen. So I have to go out there and talk to people who don't agree with me, who don't look at the world the way I do, and I'm not going to run away from that. I'll show them enough respect to speak to them and to disagree with them and to offer my own point of view. You know, when I gave my talks at Camelot, and I did a couple of other even more out there, truly new agey love fests that I was invited to.
You and I were involved in one at the UFOCon thing.
Oh, we could talk.
Buddy Doug Dietrich.
I would be very happy to chat about that too, by the way. But when you go into these environments, I think it's important for people like ourselves to challenge those people in the audience and to challenge those people listening with a different perspective that they're not used to. I do that, and I know you do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was getting up there preaching to the assembled masses in the new religion of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about your points of view and your particular take on things, this is a good question from Jimmy H., who's one of our newer posters at form.theparacast.com. Mr. Dolan, I've been listening to a few of your podcasts, and I really appreciate that you are not afraid to go into deeper and rather complex philosophical discussions about the nature of reality and the power structures of society. Which thinkers and writers inspired your own ideas about a breakaway society, and have you ever tried to publish your ideas, philosophical or academic, in those academic-type publications? And have you discussed these ideas with academics, people possibly outside of the field?
So he's talking specifically about the breakaway civilization idea, or trying to get an idea of what the exact question is here.
Well, yeah. In other words, he wants to know who inspired you to really go in that direction, which we really haven't. We've kind of touched on it here today, but I think he wants to know where that particular point of view really originated and who inspired that, or who kind of sparked your interest in this whole idea.
Yeah, well, I can tell him when the idea really germinated with me, and it was really through 07, 08, and 09, during the home stretch when I was completing the second volume of UFOs in the National Security State, and it evolved.
I'll tell you what about evolution, though. We have to evolve into this announcement first.
It's an announcement.
That's the worst segue I've ever done. Richard Dolan joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stan Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, Richard Dolan has this new company called Richard Dolan Press and is going to be bringing out some fascinating titles. But we posed a question to you, Chris did, that you were in the process of beginning to answer, and now's your chance to finish.
Yeah. So the idea of a breakaway civilization, I guess I can say that there was no one source or inspiration that prompted me to think of it. That I can say, because I just don't recall that there was any.
Joe Farrell has mentioned this in several of his books, which came out around that same time period.
Well, he followed on what I was doing, actually. I mean, that's the phrase that I coined. I remember coining it. And I posited the idea in one of the chapters of my second volume of UFOs and National Security States, at the very beginning of chapter 9, actually, where I really started talking about it. And no, it was something that actually, I will say, came to me when I was trying to understand what I call the structure of power. Who's in charge? How does it all work? What is the likely result of decades and generations of clandestine study of exotic technology? My feeling, and this is only my theory, based on what I think has happened, which is that if you have ever recovered any crash UFO technology, if any of it has been recovered, it is therefore being studied in secret. It is therefore subject to very severe kind of secrecy protocols. And the nature of scientific development being what it is, this is how I see it. Actually, there's one intellectual inspiration for breakaway civilization. Actually, and in fact, this is what I was reading at the time. This is a long deceased historian named Arnold J. Toynbee, who wrote a long extended series of volumes on called A Study of Civilization. I happen to have a condensed volume of Toynbee's study on my shelf, and I actually read a lot of it. It's kind of tough going, but really what he did is he got me thinking about what is a civilization, what constitutes a civilization. And I can tell you that in 08 and 09, this is a very big thought that was in my head. What is it that constitutes a civilization? When I looked over at the history of the Cold War, one thing that came through to me was that you had separate scientific infrastructures. So you had the Soviet scientific infrastructure where they were actually doing totally different science. Some of it was spurious nonsense science, like Trofim Lysenko, who had all of these nonsensical theories of biology. it was a completely different infrastructure from what was going on in the West. So you had these two. So in theory, our history shows us that we actually can have separate scientific infrastructures kind of coexisting. And it then came to me that really what the classified world probably has is its own separate scientific infrastructure. Why is that so impossible? We have this idea that it is impossible, but I don't believe it. I think that, you know,
I think it's highly probable.
Yeah, I think some technologies can be segued into money-making opportunities. You know, you improve on your integrated circuits or fiber optics or what have you, but some breakthroughs are too valuable to share with the rest of the world. So if you have a breakthrough that deals with propulsion, if you have a breakthrough that deals with energy, that doesn't get shared with the world. That's too transformative, too revolutionary. And you continue studying it on your own and you classify the patents. You classify the knowledge so that it literally becomes illegal for the outside world to study it. You see, what that means is for the rest of the world, their future is being held hostage. But for the guys who are in with the in crowd in the black budget world, they can continue to work off of their knowledge and make their own developments and kind of jump way, way, way ahead of the rest of us. Because that's how scientific demands, like you make one breakthrough that can lead to another still and so on. But if we're prevented from it, then we're stuck spinning our wheels essentially or going much more slowly while those who have fundamentally different understandings of science and reality, they can way go far.
And huge budgets.
I asked myself one day, does this constitute a separate civilization? Can it? With different levels of technology, different cosmology that would allow them to have understandings of the world that the rest of us poor slobs can't have because we don't have the opportunity. And I think, in a sense, that can qualify them as a civilization that has broken away from our own, a separate civilization.
I wanted to ask you here as we get to this kind of subject here. All right, so maybe we have a secret government in the U.S., but what about the rest of the world? Are there organizations or portions of governments around the world working behind the scenes to enforce the secrecy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what we have is a global system that's in place. Do we think that, I don't know, France is any different than the United States in how the government is essentially managed from a national security point of view, or Britain, or Germany, or Russia, for that matter, or Australia, or China? Now, China may be a little bit of a wild card, but I don't think it's any fundamentally different, or India. What you have are systems in place where powerful interests decide, A, who's going to rule, by and large, B, what the primary national security policies are going to be. They control, they have as much control over their classified doings as what you see in the United States, by and large. And so where does that control come from? Are they all separate competing little intelligence communities? No, I don't think so at all. What we have is a global system that's developing. I don't think it's fully developed, it's fully formed, but it's clearly in the process of being developed. So this is why I keep coming back to it. We have to understand what is the true structure of power here on planet Earth. It's not a system of these separate countries, sovereign nations, duking it out like, you know, in the pre-World War I era, I suppose. It's different now. There's a global financial system of control that is the true power behind almost any government that I can think of. And all I can do is, again, I infer that based on the limited number of studies that we have of black budget America, that has become privatized. You know, the few actually detailed public studies we have of the black budget America have come to this conclusion that it's essentially become more privatized than anything else. The real power, in other words, is not DOD, but rather private money that is behind it, particularly in the special access programs, that is black budget programs. And if that is so, then that again points to the fact that we have private money that really rules the day. So what do? Here's the system. They get their hooks into a U.S. black budget program that they get to run without public oversight. They get to use the U.S. military as their personal police force. That's a nice thing to have. And they get to do their research basically for free on public tax dollars and whatever other financial dealings that they're able to manage, with no oversight and total security. And that I think is the structure of how UFO secrecy is probably being done. You've got programs that are beyond the normal purview of an American president or U.S. Congress or anything like that. U.S. president can't possibly have oversight of these. Think about this. You have hundreds and probably maybe thousands of these black budget programs. It is literally an impossibility for a president to be on top of them all. And it's also unwise. He has to be able to have deniability of things that are happening that are sensitive. And all it would be is a distraction if he can't do anything about it anyway. Again, he's got to meet with the dignitaries. He's got to be the public face. It's not his job to manage the massive illegal labyrinthian Byzantine structure of the U.S. black budget system. That's for other people to manage. That's not for him to manage.
Especially since a lot of it is, like you said, held in the private sector. There really is no ability to oversee that because it exists within a private corporate realm.
Exactly. It's proprietary.
That's the word I was looking for. Very good.
And this is not simply a UFO thing.
Now that we've brought this up, this leads us to another question from Jimmy H. And, this one is from Technomage T.
So are we live? I mean, I don't know how this works. Are we live or pre-record?
Well, I'm just reading questions from the forum that have been, you know, when we announced your show, then boom, people
started. Oh, these are cool. Wow. Real cool. Okay.
Yeah, and before Chris reads that question, we'll hold it off to our final segment. Richard Dolan joins Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, Richard Dolan joins us with this final segment. I can't believe it's the final segment. I'm looking at the watch. I'm looking at the segments. Okay, we may have time for one or two more questions here. Chris, you were about to pose one.
Yeah, this kind of ties in with what Richard was just talking about. And how would you break down, I'm going to paraphrase Technomage T's question a little bit here, but basically what he's asking is, what are the most effective means used by governments to quell dissent and discussion of these forbidden topics? Is it intelligence agency collusion and control of the media? Is it, you know, whitewash sort of PR operations like Project Blue Book? How do you break that apart, and where do you see the most effective use of this power?
Well, I think you hit on it. Media control is paramount. Media and academic control are absolutely critical. And when you go back through the history, starting with the 1940s, this is really when our world truly became fundamentally transformed as a result of the Second World War. Important relationships were cemented between the CIA, U.S. intelligence community, and the major sources of media. New York Times, Washington Post, Reuters, and the wire services, and CBS News, and all of that. And we know this is true. This is not open for speculation or debate. We forget UFOs. We know that this is true, that the CIA had intimate, ongoing relationships with all of the U.S. major media sources, and not just U.S., but globally. Now, does that mean that the CIA controlled all news? No, of course it didn't. When you look at the history of UFO reporting over the years, what you find is that local newspapers, particularly in the past, were actually much more likely to report about UFO events than the majors, than the Times and the Post and so forth. And any time that the New York Times did touch on the topic, it has always been an absolute dismissal. And this is not by accident. If you are trying to manage public opinion, it's okay, actually, to let the little people in on the fringes talk about anything they want. That's like a safety valve. But what you must not ever do is allow your official sources of truth, like the New York Times, for example, they must never, ever give this credence, and they never have. It's the same with the academic community. How hard do you really think it is to manage the academic community? Easier than you think. We tend to think of the ivory tower as a bastion of intellectual freedom, and professors have tenure and they can do what they want. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. What you have is, just like within the media, if you have a few well-placed people in the academic world who are doing your work, and this happens, this is the case, they're like the sheepdogs that keep the sheep in place. So, you know, Derek, back in the 1950s and 60s, one of the key guys in that regard was Donald Menzel, Harvard astronomer, who was the world's leading debunker on UFOs and who we learned years after his death had a very, very prominent and intimate relationship with the NSA, where not even his wife knew about this. He was not just an astronomer. Turns out he was a leading cryptologist and had great skills in that area. And anyone who would promote UFOs in the academic world had to fear the wrath of Donald Menzel. Who's going to mug a Harvard astronomer in some academic journal? Answer, basically no one. And one guy who tried to fight back, James McDonald, who was easily Menzel's match and more, ended up having a tragic end to his life in his early 50s.
You really think that was caused by speaking up out of turn?
Well, it certainly ruined his life. You know, when McDonald took on UFO secrecy, it destroyed his life. He was subject to character assassination again and again by people like Philip Klass. We know this. And it really hurt McDonald professionally in his career. You know, shortly before he died, he was in Congress doing hearings on what was known as the SST, the supersonic transport, talking about, I think, environmental issues concerning with that because he's an atmospheric physicist. And he was humiliated because kind of a chuckle went throughout the hearings about him being this UFO guy. And they were, again, really, it hurt him so much. Whether he died of an actual suicide or whether he was suicided, I don't know, and I don't really have a position. I think in the past I believed he was probably bumped off, and who knows. All I'm saying is that, back to the whole academic control thing, it's very difficult to fight that entrenched system. You have some, you know, just imagine some community college professor wants to write a book about UFOs. Well, he'd have to worry about the big dogs going after him, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. And most people don't have the stomach for that kind of a fight. I've talked to many academicians, both active and retired. And the ones who are active are in mortal terror of this field. Mortal terror, because they know it's a career killer. The ones who retire, they don't care as much. And they're more willing to come out and chat with me about it and all of that. So I think there's a system of media control. I think there's a system of academic control. And also scientific. Let's not forget this. Scientific community requires funding to do anything. And if this is a topic that is classified, guess what? There won't be public funding coming forth with it. So there's no public funding for the UFO phenomenon. I'm sure there's funding in the classified domain for that, but that doesn't come out. So if you control the media, by and large, if you control the academic community, again, by and large, and the scientific community, you've gone, that's the bulk of it right there. Then you can let the great masses talk about what they want on the History Channel and on cable networks. It doesn't matter, because that's all goofy entertainment. And then, of course, you get the Hollywood connection, which is real, in which you have CIA/Hollywood connections. And we know this is the case now. We had a guy who was a real CIA officer, Chase Brandon, who came out about a year ago and said, point blank, he was the CIA's liaison to Hollywood, and he was the real thing. He wasn't making that up. So there are these relationships in place to manage public opinion. But here's the thing. They can only go so far. What's happened in the age of the web, the age of the internet, is what was the one unforeseen thing, which was that the global public still has a tremendous hunger for information on this, because somehow, even though they don't have the education, they know there's something wrong with the reality as being presented to them. They sense it. They feel it in their bones, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. But there's a hunger for this, and I see it every day when I talk to a new person about this topic, and I see the little light bulb going on over their head after they talk to me for 5 minutes. It's like they've gone through their life not realizing that, wow, this is a fascinating topic. And so once people are exposed to this topic, they very frequently want to know more. And that's what these controllers have to deal with. And they are very good at what they do. They're very good at spin. They're very good at entertainment. They're very good at distraction. They're very good at denial and dismissal and control over media, but it's not complete. And again, we're in a fluid situation where I think a lot of things can change in the next generation. And whether it'll change toward more openness or not, I don't know. But I think it's all things are possible.
You know what's possible right now? Possible to ask Richard Dolan, where can we find more of the stuff that you do?
Yeah, go to richarddolanpress.com. That's my main web presence. It's a page I update it sporadically, furtively, and I haven't updated it in a little while, but it's going to be going through a lot of updates in the very near future. I would say it has a lot of things on me, on a lot of articles and books that I've written are there. Also, it's got a place for other authors whose work I have been publishing, and you can read up on them. There's a lot of fascinating people in there. Some people know me on Facebook. I'm very active on Facebook. I'm pretty much maxed out with my personal friends, but I have a public page. So I'm out there. I'm very easy to reach. But richarddolanpress.com is probably the best way.
Of course, our own Chris O'Brien is finishing up Stalking the Herd for Adventures Unlimited Press. His site is ourstrangeplanet.com. ourstrangeplanet.com. You can find us on Twitter. We're known as the Paracast. There are, in fact, two Paracast fan clubs. On Facebook, we'll figure that out eventually. Or just check theparacast.com for everything that we do. Rich Dolan, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
It was a pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.